Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the EDG Sports Network, home of the unsung sports grid. Visit us at edgsports.com and follow us across the socials for up-to-the-minute sports news. This podcast is the property of EDG Sports, LLC. Now, it's time for the show.
Welcome to Live on blogtalkradio.com, the Going Old School Show. Chips Crow and Joe Foran here for you on this Wednesday, the 26th of January of the year 2022. It is 6:30 sharp Eastern time on this cold, dreary Wednesday as we head into the hump day version and championship weekend here, AFC and NFC championship weekends, which we'll discuss later on in the show. But before we set the itinerary any further, let's bring in the co-hosts, both of them, starting with number one, John Crow. John Crow, how are you doing today, baby?
I'm good. Happy hump day, y'all, everybody.
You too. Joe Foran's on the other side as well. Joseph, thanks for your time, buddy. What's shaking, man?
Johnny, what's going on, DC? How are we doing today? How's everybody holding up on hump day?
Can't complain, baby.
Very good.
Can't complain. Yeah, can't complain. But, hey, we've got like a jam-packed show here for the next hour and a half or so, give or take a little bit. Probably take a little bit, if you will, because you certainly can't go past that on blogtalkradio.com. But if you want to join us at any point, please do it. 516-387-1702. Once again, 516-387-1702. We are the Unsung Sports Grid, part of the E2G Sports Network. Obviously, the weekend that was, we'll recap that. We'll talk a little Major League Baseball, a little closer to home here in the Northeast. One of our own got in. Only one selection last night. Controversy. We'll discuss that. We'll break it down as some of the big guys in their 10th year of eligibility failed to get in, and we'll give our opinions on that as well. And it is, in the world of wrestling, the squared circle, it is the Royal Rumble this weekend, and I'll let the guys take me into the classroom, give me some insight, maybe some predictions, if you will, talk about stuff going on in the WWE this weekend as well. But, JC, I'm going to start with you. It was a not-so-super wild card weekend a couple weeks ago, but maybe that set the tone because it was everything super last Saturday and Sunday in the division round. We'll recap the games, but just an overall take from that fantastic weekend of NFL football, JC.
Yeah, I mean, we, as fans, man, we could not ask for anything more. I mean, you get three straight games ending on a game-winning field goal, and then what the Bills and Chiefs gave us going to overtime, I mean, whoo, man. I mean, we just can't ask for anything more. And you just hope that karma doesn't come to bite us in the ass this weekend because last weekend was so good. I hope that doesn't mean that we're going to have a couple of clunkers this weekend with a couple of non-competitive games. I hope not. I don't think that will be in that case. But, man, it's just, you know, as fans, and I know you have the Chiefs, and so you had a dog in the fight, but as someone who didn't have a dog in the fight, man, just watching, you know, Burrow standing there getting sacked nine times and getting his team to a victory, all the way over to Allen and Mahomes going back and forth, kind of like, you know, Marino versus Bledsoe down in Miami in the early 90s, and then all the Brady Manning games going back and forth. And it's just so good to see because you got so many good young quarterbacks in this league. It's crazy, and as Patriot fans, you just hope Mac Jones can someday rise to that level.
Right. Joe, your thoughts as well, because it must have been nice. You're no dog in the fight, Joe, but it's certainly some good ball in the gridiron.
Oh, it's excellent football. Are you kidding me? It's like, you know, he started off with three straight games, ends with field goals, and then, you know, in two-minute span, you have – what most teams get in a full half or maybe a full game. This is crazy. Just don't people know out there, you pink cat fair weather fans, you can go back to being Patriot fans because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers got eliminated. Tom might retire. Oh, boom, freaking who. You might have to root for the Patriots again because you can't have two teams to root for anymore. I'm sorry, but get back off the horse wagon, stay off the horse wagon, and, like, go become Tampa Bay fans permanently because I don't care.
Joe, thank you, because if I had my head firmly implanted up my keister, opening thoughts. Joe, JC, what's your opening thought?
Opening thought, you know, we're so heavy into the NFL and baseball and the pros around here. I just want to give a shout-out to Providence College. One, to outgoing AD Bob Driscoll, an amazing 20-plus years as AD at Providence College, and has really risen that program to new standards. And, you know, they got a big one tonight. They're ranked 17th on the road. They're 6-1 in the conference, atop, and 16-2 overall. Today they're at 21st ranked Xavier, and good luck to the Friars.
I agree, and that's something, JC and Joe, we're going to talk about, because a senior-laden team's really bode well in past NCAA tournaments. This team has a serious chance to win a couple of games in the tourney, knock on wood, if everything goes according to plan. But our hats off to Driscoll. I didn't realize that until you said that, but he's done a heck of a job. When we were there, when we covered him as well. So he's a stand-up guy and done a great, great job at PC. So congratulations there, Bob Driscoll, and good luck to you in your future endeavors. Mine's going to be it's football related. And I'm a Chief Hawk, but I'm a Chiefs Kingdom. Hats off to Chiefs Kingdom, okay? Beginning this past Tuesday, donations of increments of $13 were sent to O'Shea Children's Hospital in Buffalo, New York. The $13 stipend was in reference to the time it took to drive down the field and tie the game this past weekend in the Buffalo KC game. You can say it was a slap in the face. Children's Hospital helping women and children with their youngsters and debilitating illnesses, mental stuff. O'Shea Hospital is a big deal. This isn't the first time anything's happened, but I want to salute my fellow Chief brethren for doing that. The Facebook group is Chiefs Kingdom Memes. It's a women and children. So like I said, hats off to you guys. It's a great cause, and I just had to say something about it. So be that as it may, let's pick up where we left off. My apologies to you guys. Recapping the divisional weekend, which was passed. JC, I'm going to start with you. You mentioned one Joe Burrow sacked 9 times. First time the 2 number one seeds went down on the divisional weekend since 2010, and one of them was the Patriots that year. But the Titans go down, 3 interceptions. How did you see this game play out? Cincinnati moves on, a big win, but give me some takeaways on both sides of the ball, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, kind of what we saw, you know, at the end of the weekend with, you know, Sean McDermott having a coaching faux pas. I thought Mike Vrabel did the same thing. You know, he had a two-headed monster of Henry and Freeman going kind of well, and then put the ball back in Ryan Tannehill's hand, who obviously didn't have it. You know, 3 picks and was trying to force it, and, you know, Ryan Tannehill, he's just not on that level. He's just not. And you saw it just wasn't there, and you still tried to go there. And when you had the big spot, 3rd and 1, you try an RPO with Ryan Tannehill. Don't put it in his hand. Give it to your studs. Give it to Henry. Give it to Freeman. Pick up the yards. And you know what? If they don't get it on 3rd down, which they didn't because Tannehill got bounced around and had no gain. You ran to Henry again, you know, which you knew was going to happen, but the play was so far behind the line, the Bengals just snuffed it out entirely. But be aggressive with your 2 studs in. I think Vrabel kind of missed the mark on that one. And, you know, he went for 2 early in that game when he didn't really need to, when they tied it at 6. And, you know, just missed opportunities, those little things, and that's all the difference. And if you're Joe Burrow, man, hats off to you. You didn't see him cursing. You didn't see him getting anybody's face after he was getting sacked 9 times. He wasn't out there belittling his offensive linemen. Yeah, we've seen that here in Foxborough a time or two during, you know, the 20 years with Brady when he's getting hit too much. But Burrow stood there, and when they needed the big play, he got it to his stud, Jamar Chase, got into the field goal to get there at the end. And, damn it, rookie Evan McPherson isn't nailed.
Oh,
a 52-yarder, a 54-yarder. He's been doing it all year long. I saw him today on the Pat McAfee show, and, man, that kid just oozes confidence. And, hey, man, they got themselves another stud, a young team. You know, this weekend might be a bit much for them going into Kansas City for the AFC, much kind of like it was too big for Buffalo and Tennessee the past couple of years. But, man, the Bengals are fun to root for. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
They're fun to root for.
Joe, your thoughts?
Oh, I love that Cincinnati game. I love the fact that, like, the only thing I question is the offense coordinator. You got to change up. You got to make some hot routes. You can't keep on running 10 to 15 yard routes that take too long. If you got a pass rush like that, you need to throw some screens. So throw some quick slants, quick outs, just to take pressure off Burles. But hey, you know, we haven't seen the likes of that kind of kicker since, oh wait, Steven Gostkowski, 2006,
mm-hmm.
because he was the last kicker to go perfect in the postseason. The way this kid is going, the kid, actually, he's money. It's like, you know, they didn't even question it. It's like, you know, it's not even worried about it. It's like, you know, we're used to that in New England to see a kick like that, but good for Cincy to have that. Look, I love it. It was a great weekend. And it couldn't go any better. It was like, you know, seeing both number one seeds going down is weird, but, you know, hey, it happens. I didn't think Green Bay would go down in the first game, but they did. And it's like, you know, Aaron Rodgers fizzled out again. You know, they looked so good on their first drive, and then the rest of the game they forgot to show up. No, otherwise,
agreed.
Look, and ends on that final game like that in overtime. It's like you couldn't script a better weekend of football.
Agreed. And my thoughts on the Cincinnati-Tennessee game were, first of all, I it was very critical. I think you guys, and you'll agree, at least I was very critical of this Bengals offensive line, and they have their holes to the tune of 9 sacks. But I'm going to put some of the blame on Joe Burrow. Joe, you pointed it best. You're going to do some short stuff. I know you have the big plays, and I think they're really scheming for the big play. I think that has to change this weekend if they have any chance against the Chiefs. But I'm going to put some of those sacks on Joe Burrow, and he'll learn from this. But as far as him as a quarterback, he's about as cool as collective and as confident silently as I've ever seen someone. So you build around this kid. You show up the offensive line. And, J.C., you said it. Evan McPherson, cool as the other side of the pillow, as Stuart Scott would say, 8 consecutive field goals in the postseason. On the other side, this is my story. I'm sticking to it. I'm looking at the stats right in front of me. Derrick Henry, 20 carries. There's way too many carries for him. He was not ready. And the focal point for the 2 weeks was him. That offense, which ran right through him as a focal point offense before he was injured, I don't think should have ran as much in this game. I think you have Dante Foreman, 4 carries, 66 yards. If you flip the carries around and Foreman gets 20 and Henry gets 4, it may have been a different outcome because it would have taken some of the pressure off a play-action passer like Tannehill. In a nutshell, I believe that the chemistry of this offense was disrupted because I understand Henry's presence, but you have next game to give him more carries. 20 carries, way too much. I think that was their downfall. Maybe put the too much horse in the cart, but their defense stepped up. But I'm going to stand by my chemistry thing. I think the chemistry really hurt Tennessee to the point where they lost this game. But nonetheless, Cincinnati is moving on for the first time since 1988. JC, San Francisco 13 at Green Bay 10. I can sum this up in a couple words, but I'm going to let you start, John, and your summation at the other number one seed that was ousted this past weekend.
Yeah, it's failure. It's just utter failure again at home, deep in the playoffs for Aaron Rodgers at Lambeau Field. And it almost seemed like after they went down the field, scored the first touchdown, went up 7-0, it just seemed like they thought they had it won right then and there, and just never put forth the urgency to win this game. You know, even 4 minutes left, they're still up 10-3. They get the block punt from San Francisco to tie the game, and still Aaron Rodgers, there's no urgency like we've seen in the past.
Yep.
He's had comebacks against the San Francisco team in Santa Clara earlier this year. You know, after Garoppolo put him up ahead with a touchdown, he came back in 35 seconds with a field goal. Boom, they win the game. Here, he chucks it into double coverage a couple times to Devontae Adams, and not even, you know, with some urgency and trying to have a good throw. And the look on his face was just like, yeah, whatever, you know, we'll just, you know, go home and whatever. And it just rubs you the wrong way. I mean, I'm not even a Packer fan,
mm-hmm.
but I want my quarterback, who's supposed to be the franchise here, to be invested. And it just seemed like he was like, all right, whatever. You know, I'll figure out what I'm going to do next. Maybe play football next year. Maybe not. Maybe stay here. Maybe not. But it's the vibe from Aaron Rodgers, and, you know, it's been this way all year where, you know, he's had drama surrounding him all year. You know, whether it be the toe, the vaccinations, the stints on Pat McAfee show. You know, it's just who Aaron has become, and it just wonders, you know, what he wants to do with the rest of his life, you know, whether it be in football or something else. But unfortunately, the Packers seem ready to just bow down and go to the whims of Aaron again. Please, Aaron, come back to us. And if I were them,
right,
I'd rip the Band-Aid and say, you know what, we've had enough and we need to move on. And now's the time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't see them doing that. But it's unfortunate for Packers fans because they deserve better than the effort they got from their offense Saturday night. Kudos to San Francisco,
yeah,
though. I mean, you've won two playoff games where Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't thrown a touchdown pass. That's pretty damn good in 2022 that you can do that, because it may never happen again.
They're going to need him to throw a touchdown pass against the Rams, but How do you, as a special teams, how do you allow a team to block a punt on you in the fourth quarter of a game you're basically controlling, even though you're only up by a score, you're controlling that game. It's like you have the game in hand. How, it beyond my realm of thinking of, like, that, look, just get the kick off. It's all that matters. Get it off. You're controlling. Your defense is playing well. You're not giving up any points, but it did seem like after the first drive, it was like, you know, they thought they could do what they wanted, when they wanted, if they wanted. But San Fran's defense was having none of it. They put their feet in the, got their feet in the trenches, drew the line, and said, okay, no more. And it's like they held that team together, held the team at bay, got by the fact that they had an inept quarterback named Garoppolo, and got the job done. And Green Bay goes down again, and it's like, you know, maybe Aaron's looking for the Rodgers rate, and he's not worried about football.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, making sure he's getting his. Because, again, the team that should win and should have been in the championship game could not get it done in Lambeau Field, where you should rule the roost. But, nope, you let a team that, yeah, they're good, but they had no business beating you. In my opinion, if Green Bay played their game, San Fran had no business beating Green Bay. But, again, here we go. Green Bay just seemed happy to be there. And, yeah, okay, we'll go into the postseason wondering what's going to happen.
Well, I'm going to start with the Niners, because you're looking at a 49er team that has beaten Aaron Rodgers four consecutive times in the playoffs. So talk about an emotional thing. That doesn't go unnoticed, in my opinion. They're 7-5 all-time career in the playoffs against number one seeds. That's a gritty team. That's a physical team. That's a team with a little chip on their shoulder. And, oh, by the way, just 2 years removed from a Super Bowl. So it's not that long ago, and some of the same pieces are there. That this team loves Jimmy Garoppolo, and all he does is win. He had a 57.1 passer rating, Jimmy G did, like you mentioned, Crow. No touchdowns, 11 of 19. He's banged up. He is banged up. And if that's any other quarterback, we're saying, what a tough SOB this guy is. Jimmy Garoppolo, say what you want. He's very, very contagious, or very prone to the bad pick, the pick six. But they win with this guy. There's something there with Jimmy Garoppolo. There's some sort of, I'm going to use that word again, chemistry with this team. On the other side of the ball, two words, Joe, special teams. They've had a special teams problem all year long, and it's reared its ugly head in the worst possible time. That was my outtake, and I can't agree anymore, JC. Aaron Rodgers shows some sense of urgency, and it makes you think, with all the dissension that went on, and you talked about the patching up and the kissing of each other, the hugging verbally of him and the organization, in times of adversity like that, did he just say, you know what, I'm out of here anyway, just go through the motions? Because that's what it looked like, the body language and what we saw. The optics told us everything we need to know. So, you're right, cut the ties, move on, it's time. Three straight 13-win seasons, nothing to show for it. It's time, they're out even earlier than they were the past two, that's a red flag. Just get it done. Right. Cut the umbilical cord and move on. So, again, San Francisco is a – boy, they're a tough team to root against. They're a fun team to watch, too, by the way. When they go to the Rams this championship weekend. And let's go to that game, John, as we move on to the other NFC tilt, which is the day after. And what an exciting game this was. At times, I thought it was going to be a blowout, first of all. I'll let you get into it, JC. But the final was 30-27. The Rams bested the Buccaneers. JC, Tom Brady's last game perhaps, but what's your takeaway from this?
Yeah, tale of two halves. You know, the Rams looked like they could do nothing wrong until they started putting the ball on the ground late in that first half with a 20-3 lead. Akers with the first of his two fumbles, and everything kind of went askew. They eventually went up 27-3, and then here come more fumbles and Tom Brady doing what Tom Brady normally does when anywhere he's around that 27-28-3 deficit. He just comes back like he always does. And, you know, if all I could think in my head, and again, no dog in the fight, was when they're coming back 27-13, 27-20, they get the ball back.
Yep.
All you're thinking is, damn, these Brady fans are going to be insufferable if the Bucs win this game. And, you know, they probably should have completed the comeback if not for, you know, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles pulling the cover zero and not getting the call to everybody, and Cooper Kupp just, you know, playing like it's schoolyard. Let me just head to the car, catch that, and boom, Matt Gay is on with the game-winning field goal. And I was happy for the Rams because they deserved to win the game. They played better. And, you know, it's just you get caught in those things. The Falcons got caught in it against the Patriots. When things start going downhill,
yep,
you can't stop them. And for a while there, they couldn't. And kudos to Matthew Stafford, man. We talked about this last week. Getting that first playoff victory out of the way, you can exhale, and the guy just seemed comfortable. You know, even the fumbled snap wasn't his fault. He didn't know the ball was coming on the shotgun snap. But he just looked like when I need to make a play, I can go make that play. And him and Kupp, they pitch and catch, 44 yards, right down the field, boom. Kind of like the Chiefs did against the Bills late in their game. But it was nice to see, and it's one of those things when we look forward to this weekend, can Stafford continue that? Because now he's up against a team that kind of has had his number this year. So I was just happy to see the Rams get over that hump. And when we talk about Brady, yeah, I think it's done.
Yep.
You know, we talked about it last week. There are too many whispers out there, and I know he has talked about the family before, but it seems a little bit more prevalent. And as any athlete who we've talked to or we've covered over the last 20 years has told you, when you start talking about retirement, you're already there.
Good point. Go ahead, Joe.
So it was a good game until the Rams started peeing down their pants, down the side of their legs, and couldn't hold on to the ball like it was a greased banana. I mean, it's like, you know, you're running in for a score at the end of the first half that basically would probably seal the game. And, yeah, it was a close call, but it's like it was a fumble. It's like, what do you hold on to the ball? It doesn't matter. Just hold on to the ball. And it's like, I was thinking the same thing, JC. Man, if they come back, I got to listen to these freaking pink hat fair weather fans all freaking for another week. Because, like, here we go. Tom is going to make the comeback. And just, you know, why do you pull a cover zero? And why do you, if you're going to cover Cooper Kupp, why? No. The guy has been all-world, borderline MVP all year long. And you're going to leave him solo coverage with not even your best cornerback over the middle? I'm like, oh, my. It was like, it's like you just gave him the game. I'm like, really? Two throws in a row, you let Kupp. Bill Belichick would say, you don't let the one guy beat you on a team that you know he's going to beat you. So it's like, granted, I know you want to cover it up, but didn't they get the memo that Stafford and his record against blitzes and how he's the best quarterback out there against blitzes is?
Yep.
Oh, that's right. Get that memo. Because it's like, you don't do that in the last. And then, like I said, Stephen Gostkowski, the new one, new kid in town. It's like, you know, the kid was easy peasy field goal of freaking, what was it, 30 yards? Nobody can miss that field goal, at least. So, you know, I like it. It's like, you know, and then after the game, Tom's demeanor said it all. He seemed happy, at peace with himself, happy with what he's done in his career. Look, he's had 7 rings. He just seemed happy to, like, be going home, end of the year. Nothing, he held nothing back. And it's like, you know what? You're 45. Giselle wants you home with the kids, with her. I know you love the game, but you've had one hell of a career. And if he's named MVP, what a way to go out without winning the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm going to start on the Rams side, who are the 4th team in NFL playoff history to lose 4 fumbles or more in a playoff game and win. That's right there. You have to be a hell of a good team to win with 4 fumbles. I'll give it that. So hats off to them. But we talked about the pressure last week. How do you get to Brady? You pressure him. 17 times he was pressured, the most Brady has faced all year long in the game. 9 of those by his old nemesis, Von Miller. That's all you needed to know, that the ingredient was there. McVay knew what to do to get to him. This game, guys, it was all about one thing. The Rams just giving it away. It was not as close as the score indicated. Brady was in a position because it was allowed by with the ineptitude of a Ram defense that I couldn't believe. I was like, just gift drop it. Just put a ball in it and just take your team off the field, Sean, and let Brady run down the field because you're just basically doing it anyway. They held on, which is really great. I really, JC, you mentioned it. A Ram team, and see what you want about the coverage with Kupp, and I agree, Joe. That final play to set up the field goal. But that was a big boy moment again for Matt Stafford. And Sean McVay knew you're not going to play to overtime because, as we saw in the game we're going to talk about next, a coin flip can decide the game. And hats off to them. They went out and stole that game back. And if the Rams go on to win this thing, that was the moment that they really reached that different level. Because Stafford, he's not a playoff founder anymore. 2 games he won. You could argue the game last week was more about the players around him. But he went out and grabbed this game right at the end, and hats off to Stafford. And good for the Rams because they're 1 game away from staying at home for the Super Bowl come February 13th. So the Rams move on. And I agree, JC and Joe. I think it's Brady's. Before we move on to the Chiefs, I think Brady is going to retire. I can't see him coming back with this team, Casey, and I'll start with you, because I think the team's going to make some changes. I don't think they're going to bring everyone back. It may start with the coach. Antonio Brown's gone. But can you see Brady going anywhere else but Tampa Bay? And if you're a team that's contending, do you want him when he has this looming over his head with some of the thoughts he's expressed?
I hope as a Brady fan for all these years in New England that he doesn't become a guy who hops team to team to end his career.
Mm-hmm.
I get, you know, you left New England because you didn't want to be with Bill anymore. Got it. You went to where there was weapons. You succeeded. You won the Super Bowl. If you want to keep playing, play there. But if you now want to go to a second team after being here in Foxborough for 20 years, then it's kind of silly as you look at it. And I know everyone has the right to move and all that, you know, good stuff. But you've got a year left on the contract. Don't become like a Favre, you know, maybe like a Rodgers who, you know, just wants to own his destiny and the next place to play. You know, I hope this was it for him. He goes out on a fantastic fourth quarter and a great comeback. There is no box he hasn't checked. And you just hope they move forward with that. And he goes on to the next part of his life. Not saying he can't play. He's a top 2 quarterback at age 44. But knowing what he is, what his competitive mind is, you know that cliff is closer than it was before. So I think in his mind, he knows his body better than anybody else, that he probably thinks, listen, this could go south pretty quickly at 45. So he can say he played the 45 and check all those boxes. And, you know, I just hope he does because he's the greatest of all time. And I would just hate for him to keep chasing someplace else. But if he does, I will throw out this little tasty snack. What if you're the San Francisco 49ers?
Yep.
You don't want Jimmy, right? You obviously don't want him. Trey Lance is obviously not ready to take over that. How about a little trade? Jimmy G to Tampa. Tom spends his last year in the league at home in front of the parents while he grooms Trey Lance. I don't know. Just food for thought.
I like that, though. Joe, the pin cats are waiting. They're waiting with bated breath. I'm Tom Brady. What do you think for next year? That's a pretty good scenario that JC just painted out for us.
It is a good scenario. I don't see it happening because 49ers passed on him last year. They could have had him last year, and they didn't want him last year. It's like I think they stay with what they've got. I think Tom, he's either going back to Tampa Bay or he's retiring, but right now he's doing his old diva act of he needs more weapons with Tampa Bay, and I don't see him going to another team. I don't see Tom being that quarterback spends another year. I get it, JC. I get the good point. I just don't see San Fran doing it. I just don't see it happening. It would be good theater to have Brady retire in San Fran. It's the home of his team that he rooted for growing up. I just don't see it happening. I just think he's going to bow to the wishes of Giselle and be happy with what he's got and be happy and just retire. It's like he loves the game. I just don't see this. I don't think he has a choice. I think she's going to put the foot down and want him to retire. And just basically, you said you were going to play this 45. Well, you're going to be 45. It's time to hang it up. Look, what a better way did he run out? The man led the NFL in passing. The man went out on top. It's like nothing wrong, no shame in it. It's like you went out on top. It's like, do you really want to push the envelope? Go for another year. Well, I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't hold Tampa Bay hostage over this next couple of months and drag it on. But, no, sorry, Pink Cats. I think he's hanging it up.
If he can convince Wifey one more year, JC, that would be a perfect scenario from two angles because he gets to go home to the team he grew up rooting for with a really good surrounding cast. You could argue maybe better than what's going to be in Tampa next year, number one. Number two, if you're Kyle Shanahan, you've already committed to a guy who played one game in college and a guy who's been injury prone, and you have no idea what Lance is to expect. You bring Brady in, at least you get to see what Lance is a little bit more than you have this year. You bring Brady and Kyle Shanahan, that could save your ass, because if the San Francisco 49ers win this game, Kyle Shanahan is in a really tough predicament because he's all but said the guy is Lance, and it's Jimmy G's gone. So that would behoove Kyle Shanahan and the Boo Birds and the Guillotines from San Francisco 49er fans if we were somehow to get Brady. If Brady has a shot to go to San Fran, and like I said, if the wife lets him, I don't think you can pass that up. I really don't. And that would be something that would be really cool to say. You know what I mean? Coming full circle for the team you rooted for. Yeah, go ahead.
And let's take a look at the Bucks for 2022. They have $10 million in cap space. And listen to who they have to sign. On the offensive line, Ryan Jensen, Alex Kappa. Running back, Fournette and Jones. Chris Godwin's a free agent. Gronkowski's a free agent. JPP is a free agent. Ndamukong Suh, Willie Golston, Carlton Davis. I mean, they have so many needs that they're going to have to restructure contracts for and re-sign. I mean, Chris Godwin alone is going to approach nearly $20 million from some team.
Right.
I mean, you don't think that the Dolphins would just say, hey, come on over, pair him with Devontae Parker and Waddle? Oh, my goodness. Of course they would. So I think it's a little bit in play here for Brady, too, that he knows. This was it. You know, he got a Super Bowl. He had a really, really good shot at being the first repeat champion since himself with the Patriots. And Antonio Brown screwed him.
Yeah.
Antonio Brown messed this all up for him. And, you know, they just never recovered, you know.
It would make great – look, it would make – nothing would be better than seeing Tom in San Fran. I get it. I'm with you. If you can talk the wifey into it, then let's see what happens.
Right.
Because it's like – I don't see him going back to Tampa Bay because, like you said, JC, Tampa Bay brought the guys – brought the band back together for 1 year hoping they could repeat, but injuries got in the way. So, I mean, they tried – they gave the coach effort, but now they're going to have to retool, revamp. And Tom ain't staying there to rebuild. Tom is not staying anywhere. He's going to play. He wants to play for a chance to win another one. And the only way that's going to happen is in San Fran. So let's see what Giselle says. Let's see if Tom can do his best wiggling out of that situation and see if they do it. See if Tampa Bay has the balls to trade the GOAT.
Yeah, and you're looking at Bruce Arians and I didn't be the coach there. So there's a lot shaking there with Tampa. And there are rumblings that there was a little turmoil in the locker room all season long. And I can understand that with the personalities there and what went on. So that was, it became a country club at, towards the end, where I think the people were just doing what they wanted. Arians wasn't on the same page as the coach. I don't think he's ever been on the same page with Brady. I think Brady's taken over the reins. So that probably deep down inside didn't make Arians happy because it was Brady's team and Arians basically didn't get any credit for it. So at some point, when you suffer adversity, that rears its ugly head and that festers and seeps to the top. Winning can cure everything. And granted, they won games, but as things are going on and some of the sideshows, Antonio Brown being the latest, that stuff reared its ugly head. And where there was smoke, there was fire. And you may look back at this season and say, wow, Tampa did a pretty good job getting to where they were and winning, what, 12 games? So that's going to – but I agree with you guys. I think Tampa – if he comes back, it's not going to be with Tampa. His days there are over. So that'll be an off season, and I would hope it sooner or later, if he does retire, Tom, do it sooner than later. I would think that would be a good thing to do. You don't want to hold anyone, any team in limbo. So be that as it may, let's move right along to the final game of the weekend. And, boy, you're talking about saving the best for last, guys. I lost 6 months of my life on this game, but it was well worth it. JC, I'm going to start with you. You know, in basketball, sometimes you watch the final 4 or 5 minutes, and that's all you need to see. You could argue this is a game of the same magnitude, but they were great plays. It was exciting from start to finish. JC, again, your thoughts on what transpired in an overtime thriller?
Yeah, it was nice to see Josh Allen do it to somebody else. I mean, the Chiefs secondary, they were already down a few with some injuries. But then when Tyrann Mathieu went out with the concussion early first quarter, I'm sure you said it, Tipster, you know, watching the game, uh-oh, because there's the brains behind that secondary. And they just never could recover, and Allen did whatever he wanted. But the good thing for the Chiefs is, you know, they've got the guy on the other side, Patrick Mahomes, who can be the equal and one step better. And for Buffalo, it all came down to two words, squib kick. And how McDermott and their special teams coach didn't execute, they let their team down. They let their players down. 13 seconds left. Allen throws an absolute missile again to Gabe Davis for his fourth touchdown. And the Bills won the game right there. All you had to do was squib kick it. Take a couple of seconds off the clock. It changes everything. And, yes, I know the Chiefs still had their two timeouts. But time eventually is going to get you there. I mean, it's just amazing what Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill did on those two plays to get Harrison Butker out there for the game, tying field goal, get it into overtime, and then win with a great back shoulder throw from Mahomes to Kelce. It's, you know, Buffalo deserved better in that game, and their coaches let them down. But kudos to the Chiefs because it ain't over till it's over. When you got that one last shot, and I don't know if you guys have seen the NFL audio on the sideline, Kelce told him, boom, 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 this is where it's going to be, on the sidelines before those two plays. And, you know, they knew. And how the Bills could not, you know, even after the squib kick, could not find a way to have those guys be be stopped on one of those two plays. Hey, but as fans, we just love it because it just gave us one more thing to revel in that weekend. And as far as all the people on Twitter wanting to revise the overtime rules again, like they said before when the Patriots went down and scored against the Chiefs in Arrowhead, no. You don't need to. And I was a fan of, I didn't even need the whole field goal touchdown scenario like you have now. I'm fine with just pure sudden death. But even now, if you want to say, hey, you have to score a touchdown in the first two possessions, that's fine. You can't cry, Buffalo. You could have stopped it and won in regulation, and you could have stopped him in the first drive, and you didn't. So I don't want to hear about this overtime change rule. No, they don't need to do it.
Joe, let me stop you there for a minute. I just see we have a caller on the line. I'm not going to take him from the 973. Caller, can you hear me? We'll get to you just after our couple of thoughts here. So thanks for hanging in. I appreciate it. I think I know who it is. But, Joe, finish your thought. Or start your thought, please.
Oh. Yep, I know who you root for. I know who your favorite team is. But I think that game Sunday put to rest all the crying of Chiefs fans when we beat you in overtime without Mahomes touching the football. It comes back either way, and it's like the rules need to stay the same. You can't change the rule because one team coach screwed you big time. Hit the football, put it on the ground, squib it down there, kill at least 4 to 5 seconds. You kill 4 to 5 seconds, that game is all but over. I mean, it was the most exciting game I've ever seen, instant classic. And just before we get to anything, you know, the NFL has been quite good on the taunting penalties. A peace sign of a wide receiver running to the end zone to the linebacker chasing him or the defensive back chasing him is taunting. Flag should be up. Yellow should be littering that field because you called it all year long. Call it again. Mm-hmm. No need for it. Didn't need to be there. Great, great player. Sometimes he doesn't think straight because there should have been a flag on that play. End of discussion.
Yep.
But forget that, the fact of you took 13 seconds. Don't ever let a woman in Kansas City say 13 seconds is never enough time because they found a way to get down there. They got the job done. Kudos to Mahomes and KC. 4 games in a row, 4 AFC championships in a row went through KC. Never been done before.
I agree, and I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, as you guys well know, and they shouldn't be playing this Sunday. JC, you said it. Scrub the kick. You scrub that ball, the game's over. Unless it's a miraculous. Even if you can fair catch the ball, just pooch it to inside the 10, and that's all you needed to do. Right, and I think maybe Buffalo kind of thought they might have won, and a lot of teams would, but they didn't realize who they're going up against. 2 plays in a lot with the weapons they have. And the Chiefs played it well. The Chiefs were better prepared for that moment than Buffalo was, plain and simple. Maybe because they've been there before. Maybe the experience now we're going to see with them. Because, Joe, you made it right. They're in their 4th straight championship game. But here's what I want to tell you. And I love Josh Allen. You guys know it. I've talked to Nausea. I think he's one of the top, at least the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. But all week long, talk is about Josh Allen, as well as it should have been, coming against the game, the previous game. But I think Patrick Mahomes heard that. And he basically said, you know what? Josh, you're there, but it's still me. I'm still the guy. And he had a chip on his shoulder, as all the team did, because I was watching the pregame show, and Bill Cowher was the only guy who picked the Bills with the Chiefs. They felt disrespected. And when you get a team that talented with a chip on their shoulder, that can be very dangerous for the opposition. So I think it fueled them. I really do. And we'll go back to the 3 and 4 star. They carried that mantra, the no respect. People counted us out since then up until now. And I think they're going to carry it into this weekend game. It's going to be interesting. Again, Buffalo guys, if you're a Patriots fan and you guys are, you are a long way from this Buffalo team. And I'll tell you, with each time I see him play, the more and more I respect Josh Allen. I think for the future, you might want to not have him run as much because of the injury factor. And he's a big kid, but he lowers his shoulder, and it may take a late hit. but you don't want him to go out and miss several weeks, much less the season, because of something like that. I think the reason he was doing this, Josh Allen, was because at the halftime of that game against Tampa a few weeks ago, he took the team on his back, and he took them all the way. And, man, they should have been there. And I feel bad for the Buffalo fans because they deserve more. But the good news is he was pretty stand-up the next day, Josh was, because he knew he was going to be there again. But that team is on the come, and they're going to get better and better. The Chiefs move on, and I'm happy about that. Like I said, I lost 6 months of my life, but I'm fine with it. But I can't – Buffalo is so good of a team. So kudos to them and what goes on the coming year, because they're not going anywhere. They're the rulers of the AFC East right now and contenders for years to come. But before we go to a short break, we have a caller on the line who's been here for about 10 minutes, and I think I know who it is, but let's bring him up, the 973. Is this Lou?
Yes, it is. You remembered.
Lou.
How about that?
Thanks for holding. I appreciate it. How are you doing, man?
All right. Look, if you missed any of these games last weekend, you can't call yourself a football fan. This had to be the greatest week in playoffs history, all four games. And I'll tell you, it just goes to show you that it isn't over till it's over, even in football. I mean, 13 seconds left, you wouldn't think, well, okay, game's over, because what are they going to do? They're going to get a, you know, like a 64-yard field goal with 1 play off the clock, or try to run a miracle touchdown. Likely not going to happen, but yet the Chiefs found a way to beat Buffalo, because everybody thought Buffalo had it in the bag. I know I did, after 13 seconds. And the game that preceded that, with only 33 seconds, you know, figure, okay, we're going to kneel down, take the ball, to the game one more time. Not so fast. I think I got an idea. I'm going to run this ball on the field and go for a field goal and win the game. There you go. You know.
Like, you know what, you're right. And
the Super Bowl.
And it isn't over till it's over, Lou. I agree with you. But I'm a Chief fan. I'm sitting on the couch. And when Gabriel Davis caught his fourth touchdown, when the defender chipped, I'm like, you know what? Hats off to Buffalo. I didn't think they'd come back, no matter how good they are. When the squid kick came on and they didn't drain any time off the clock, then I said, we got a shot. But I didn't think then. It was truly a testament to a good team that never gives up, a good, talented team that's been there before, and a little bit of luck on their side as well. But sometimes that's what it takes.
Well, I don't know if I believe in luck. I mean, you know, it takes a lot of skill, you know, to play the game. You know, and obviously they found that right skill with very little time. I mean, you know, most of the time when it's under 2 minutes, the game is, well, 95% of the time it's over. You know, just to kneel down, take a first down, and that's it. But not in this case. I mean, this weekend I think stunned anybody who was a football fan in all four games. Even the first game with the Packers, you know, a very low-scoring game with that. I mean, nobody was expecting that. And I was expecting the Packers to win. So I lost about 6 months of my life right there. Oh, boy. I mean, you know, you figure the 49ers, I mean, you weren't going to tell Jimmy G if he was still bothered by his thumb injury. Like, okay, that's strike one against the 49ers. Strike two, they're playing in frigid weather. San Francisco doesn't get that cold. So, obviously, you know, that could have been a factor for them. But somehow they still managed to wait to beat Green Bay in the frozen tundra. And then in the winning field goal, like, I was just in complete shock. All these games have very unusual endings. Some were on the good side of me, some were not on the good side, because, you know, I mean, I'm not knocking San Francisco, but I didn't think they had a ghost of a chance against the Packers at Lambeau Field. And I think 95% of all football fans might have thought the same way. Hey, well, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But at least we wanted to see Brady in the Super Bowl this year. Done. Good. That was the best part. And by the way, Ron Kosky is not special. By the way, Ron Kosky, you're not that special, okay?
A little Vladimir coming from a Jets fan. I love it. Oh, boy, Lou.
You're not bad for a Jets fan.
Lou, good stuff, man. Thanks for chiming in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, hopefully you can come on my show at some point.
Yeah, do me a favor. I have your number here. I'm going to text you, okay? I have your number, and I will text you. I know we talked about it before, but we're doing some different things as a network, so I will be in touch with you. I have your number, and you'll hear from me within a couple of days, and we'll figure something out.
All right, thanks.
All right, Louie. Take care,
Lou.
Man. That's our resident Jeff here, Lou from New Jersey. And we like to reach more than the I said, he's going to go have a cigarette now, guys. Oh, that was good stuff. But listen, we got a lot to talk about coming up. I want to take a quick 30-second break. We're going to talk about the Sean Thornton Foundation. When we come back, we're going to break down the two games, quick thoughts. So we'll talk about what happened yesterday in Cooperstown, New York, and David Ortiz. And then the boys will bring me into the classroom and lead us off into some Royal Rumble talk as well. So we'll be back in 30 seconds with more of the Going Old School show with Chips, JC, and Joe.
Hey, Boston. This is Sean Thornton. I might not be suiting up in the black and gold anymore, but my fight for Parkinson's and cancer research, advocacy, and support is still going strong. Through my foundation, I continue to be a protector for those in need and give back to a community that's given so much to me. Please consider joining my team and visiting thorntonfoundation.org or e2gsports.com for more information on getting involved, making a donation, and joining the fight.
This message supports the Boston Children's Hospital and the American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Welcome back to the Unsung Sports Grid. It is 7:21 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday, the 26th of January of the year 2022. Like Lou, you can also welcome to join the show if you'd like. Just give us a jingle at 516-387-1702. Talking some football, we'll talk a little baseball. But right now, it is my favorite weekend of the football year. Those great games notwithstanding, two trophies will be awarded on Sunday. Let's start with the early game, JC, at about a 3:05, give or take, start. Cincinnati is at Kansas City. We know Cincinnati hasn't been there since 1988. The new kids on the block, so to speak, going to the Chiefs, who are pretty much, four straight conference championship, all at home. JC, tell me what your thoughts are, albeit it's only Wednesday, a lot can change, but going in, how do you see this one shaking down this Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. First game, 34-31, Bengals pulled it out. Last second field goal, and it was the Ja'Marr Chase show. 266, three touchdowns, could have done anything he wanted. And it goes back to the Chiefs secondary. Are they healthy enough? Is Matthew going to be there? Because if you got to play Sorensen a lot, then it's scary out there with Boyd and Higgins and Chase and Mixon out of the backfield. And, it's can they do enough? And it goes. Then again, it's the Cincinnati offensive line. Can they keep Burrow upright long enough for him to get those passes out to that trio? So it's going to be very interesting to see that little chess game, because now that you have the blueprint, you've seen it once before, it's a little bit easy to diagnose. For the Bengals, this is not Ryan Tannehill you're going to be facing. He's not going to force the ball. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, fourth AFC championship game in a row, trying to make it to his third straight Super Bowl, has that chip on his shoulder. 3-4, they wrote this team off. The Bengals beat them in the regular season. So everything is in that chip category for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now it's just a matter of whether they're healthy enough to stop the Bengals long enough. Kind of like last week in Buffalo. Can they come up with the one time? Because this is 2022 when you're facing quarterbacks like Burrow, like Allen, like Mahomes. Can you have that one stop? Because honestly, sometimes that's all you need is that one stop,
right?
And boom, you're in the Super Bowl. Right. I think the line's a little heavy. It's a 7.5 line right now. And I got the Chiefs winning, but I think it's going to be a smidge closer. I got the Chiefs by 6 because I think it's just the Bengals are going to make that one mistake that they can't overcome.
Yep.
Kind of like the Bills had that one mistake, and then the Titans the year before. The moment going into Arrowhead just a bit early for them. Now, as someone with no dog in the fight again, would I like to see it happen and see them be on the cusp? Sure, because it's good for the league. It's good for the league to see new blood. And would you like to see another Bengals-San Francisco Super Bowl for the third time and Cincinnati finally get over the hump over the 49ers? Sure. But I got the Chiefs. I think they are just on a mission. We've gone back. Our top five every week, going back to the regular season, we've said the Chiefs were on a mission. And once they figured out the answers to the test and figured out who they were, to be a little more patient, that things were going to open up for them, well, it did, and they're back where they're supposed to be.
I have the Chiefs beaten Cincy. I'd love to see Cincy win. And Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they'll have company atop quarterback board in the AFC with Joe Burrow. They're just not there yet. They're one piece missing maybe. They're one play, like JC said, there's one time KC's going to make that stop and they're going to steal a possession and it's going to be enough to win the game. Look, since he's got the horses to keep up with Kansas City, I just think Kansas City, being there before, having the experience, situational football, I think Casey has the big advantage. I think, like JC said, since he makes that one mistake that they're not going to be able to overcome, and all it's going to take is that one mistake, and it's enough for Mr. Mahomes to go back and be in another Super Bowl for the third year in a row. So
I apologize. For Cincinnati, guys, I have who won five out of the last six in the series, by the way, against Kansas City. Pretty simple. Trey Henderson get pressure on the defensive side of the ball to the tune of 14 sacks this year. He's been neutralized by Tennessee. Kudos to them, but he could get loose a little bit against that offensive line. But keep Burrow upright. If Burrow gets sacked nine times, this is going to be a blowout, boys. In Kansas City's favor. I don't think that's going to happen. For Kansas City, the health of Tyrann Mathieu, JC, you called it best. He, first play of the game, took a knee in the back of the head from his teammate. That changed the complexion of that game. Josh Allen has been there before. I think he's a better quarterback right now than Joe Burrow, and he's shown it. But if Matthew's not in there, I cringed when you said Danny Sorensen, who was a decent player, but he got torched last game. He was ripped apart. He played 34% of the snaps in the last game against Cincinnati, and he cannot see anywhere near that, or this is going to be a track meet, or it's going to be a shootout. And it may be something that happened last week against Buffalo in a last possession sort of game, maybe an overtime game. So that's key for the Chiefs. Andy Reid has 19 career playoffs wins, career 2-4-1 against Cincinnati. But let's give Andy Reid a little disrespect. I heard someone call a radio station today and talk about how he's still a bad clock manager. He's been to four conference championships with separate franchises. That is pretty good for that guy. Say what you want. And I mean, he didn't luck into Patrick Mahomes. He moved up lots of spots in the draft to get Patrick Mahomes. So he turned the bad clock management Andy Reid persona around to a really darn good head coach, well-respected in the game. But Jerick McKinnon is a real surprise. He has 346 yards from scrimmage in his last three postseason games, two with the Chiefs, one with Minnesota. Number one, getting it done, spelling the tide off of Edwards-Helaire, and just shaking it up in the backfield. Just another weapon for that offensive arsenal. I like the Chiefs. I think they're going to cover, maybe a late cover. I think the Bengals will keep it close, JC, but I agree with you guys. They're going to make one mistake, and it's going to cost them a little too early for the Bengals, but the arrows pointing up for that franchise moving on in years to come is just what the doctor ordered. And sometimes, guys, teams, they get to this point. I've talked about it with Buffalo, getting the taste of it, you know, having the hunger to go back and get further. And that's what I think Cincinnati is. So I think the Chiefs will come out on top. I don't know how much melatonin I'm going to take personally to sleep on Saturday night because I'm already angsting about it. But we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right. NFC Championship. Niners have won six straight against the Rams, JC. They're at Los Angeles, and the Rams can basically stay at home for the next few weeks of the win, JC. The 6:30 p.m. start. How does that shake down in the la-la land with the Rams and the Niners?
Yeah, coin flip game for me. It's been this way since the Rams won in Tampa on Sunday, and, you know, Vegas sees it the same way. Rams, 3.5-point favorites for home field advantage. Start to pick them, basically. And it really is. I mean, when you go down to these third time, it's really tough to beat a team three times in the same season. Have we seen it before? Sure. But it's so tough. But when you go back into it, again, like you said, the 49ers have Sean McVay's number six straight times. They haven't beaten him since December of 2018. But they're going to need more from Jimmy G. They're going to need a couple of touchdowns out of him. They're going to need him to throw 250 to 300 yards in this game. They can't rely on Deebo Samuel to do everything, that defense to do everything. This is going to be his step-up time. They can't rely on Matthew Stafford throwing four picks like he did in the two regular season games, including that critical one that allowed the 49ers to win that Week 18 game just to get into the playoffs. And so, you know, Jimmy G was awesome in that second half. They were down 17-0 in that Week 18 game, and he brought them all the way back, winning in overtime. So he's going to have to do that again. It's just a matter of whether you believe he can. And as of Wednesday at 7:30, I don't think he can. The Rams, by nipping the Bucs at the end there and kind of regaining their composure, winning that, not blowing the huge lead, they got it back. Stafford is rolling. Akers, Michelle, they are rolling. They get Whitworth back on the offensive line. Their defense is gelling. I just think it's going to be an awesome game. I just think the Hollywood ending continues for the Rams, and they become the first team ever to host a conference championship game and then a Super Bowl in consecutive weeks. And it's crazy to think that for 54 seasons, we did not have a home team host a Super Bowl, and then we'll get it in back-to-back years. That's pretty special. That's pretty special. So, I know I'll probably change my mind three more times before we get to Sunday, but right now I got the Rams by three.
The bottom line on this, I'm with you on this one, JC. The Rams need to concentrate on the game in hand right now. Forget about next week. Not think about any of the Super Bowl. They need to concentrate and make sure they get the job done. Can they get the job done? Yeah. As long as Jalen Ramsey doesn't let a guy sneak behind him, you're supposed to be all-world cornerback. You're not supposed to get beat on a long throw like that last week. He can't afford to do that again this week and expect to win the game. I think Matthew Stafford has enough composure and gets over the hump and gets to the Super Bowl. I think everything clicks together. I think I think San Fran's it's a good game. I think it's a low-scoring game. I think maybe 2017, that's low-scoring these days. I think the Rams hold Deebo Samuels in check enough to not make him affect the game as much as he has in other weeks. I think the defense can hold him down enough. I think the Rams get enough done. Stafford, I think they hold on to the ball this week. Cooper Kupp doesn't fumble the ball. Their running back doesn't fumble it twice. And I think they win the game by 7 points.
I'm looking at the matchup, guys, and familiarity is the thing that stands out to me. We mentioned those six straight wins by the Niners, but this is a Niner team and that's going into Los Angeles with a little mental edge. So right now, before the game starts, opening kickoff, I think San Francisco has the edge. If you want to do it points, they're up 3-0 at the opening kickoff because of what's happened. Now, if the Rams get off to a slow start, or God forbid, Joe, like you said, a couple of turnovers, you let Jimmy Garoppolo, who, by the way, in his last four playoff games, you want to look at a trend, has less than 175 pass yards in each of the four wins that he has. So if you're looking at ingredients, he doesn't have to do as much. And I like what I can see from Jimmy G. Again, it's the confidence level with this team. Can they stop Deebo Samuel? Maybe. But he's not just a receiver. He's out of the backfield as well. George Kittle could go off in this game. Brandon Ayuk could go off in this game against a team that is playing with house money with a little edge. I think the more physical team, as crazy as it sounds right now, are the San Francisco Niners. I think the team that's more bought in are the San Francisco Niners on the field. But on the other side, you have a Rams team that has mortgaged everything to get to the Super Bowl, which we knew and we called back when they got Von Miller and Odell Beckham, that it's Super Bowl or bust. This is like the two magnets meeting and pushing each other back and forth, a tug of war, if you will. This is going to be a freaking barn burner. This may be the best game of all the playoffs when it's all said and done. Last week, notwithstanding, because of the familiarity and what we've seen from Stafford, he's gone over the hump. Von Miller is happy to be there again. Aaron Donald and Cam Akers is back as well. You can talk about the two fumbles, but they got a great backfield now with Sony Michel. There's a lot of big players in this game on both sides of the ball. I'm picking the Niners. I like the matchup. I like the ice water in Jimmy Garoppolo's veins. I like the fact that he's playing injured. I think he's galvanized. I think he's galvanized the team, as we talked about earlier. And, again, he's got motivation, and the motivation is right there on the sidelines in his head coach. You can look over at him every single play, and, again, he's thinking to himself, really, mother bleeper? Really, you don't want me here? And go out and show his own coach on the sidelines what he can do. I like the Niners in a close game, and I had a rematch of the Super Bowl a couple years ago with the Niners and the Chiefs. But it's going to be great, man. Again, two trophies will be awarded. And I can't wait till this weekend. He's John Crow. He's Joe Ferran. I'm Johnny Sanchez. But let's segue, as you will. And I'm scrolling onto my blog, Talk Studio Cock. We have like 22 minutes. So before we get into the Royal Rumble, JC, and I know you want to post some of the stuff you have online, let's talk about, Casey, I'm going to start with you. Yesterday, David Ortiz, one of our own here, first ballot Hall of Famer. Is he worthy? And talking about the steroid era and Cooperstown not being able to open the doors quite yet to the steroid era.
Yeah, deserving. I'm a little surprised it came down to 11 votes that he squeaked by to get in because, hey, it goes down to this simply. Did he test positive? No. Was he on a list for something? Yes, he absolutely was. But they never said what it was. And Rob Manfred ever since has kind of said that list doesn't matter. So, yeah, David Ortiz absolutely deserved in. And you know what? 58 players, first time, you know, getting in on the ballot, first time Hall of Famer. So it's first ballot Hall of Famer. It's absolutely deserved. Happy to see him. Loved seeing Pedro Martinez with him when he got the call and could celebrate yesterday. You know, as far as the Hall of Fame goes, and we used to have Jeff Adelson on, the president of the Hall of Fame, and he kind of moved on and the newer folks. And, you know, it just is shameful that the history of the game, it's a freaking museum, folks. It's not about your politics. It's not what you think happened. It's about what did happen on the field. There are guys that should be in. No matter which side of the steroids things you fall in with Bonds and Clemens or the politics with Curt Schilling, those three should be in. It's part of your history. If you want to put a little asterisk or whatever to say they played in the steroid era, fine. But to have those three guys not in there, and I don't think the road's going to be any easier with the Veterans Committee, because they're harder on steroids and politics, you know, some of the younger voters that have the ballots today. So, you know, if people say, they'll eventually get in over the Veterans Committee, I don't think they will. So it's just kind of shameful that it's happened this way. But, hey, at least now it's over. We don't have to go through this, you know, this rigmarole every year about whether they're going to get 75% or not. But I'm just happy that we didn't go through another year where nobody got voted in.
Right. Joseph.
Look, you know my thoughts is like, look, I was a Roger Clemens fan with the Sox. I wasn't a fan after he left with the Yankees, but the man got the job done. He was the leading pitcher in the steroid era. A bunch of guys on steroids. Whether he was on them or not, it doesn't matter. He still got the job done. He was an awesome pitcher. There's no way in hell he doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame. I'm with the JC on Curt Schilling. I'm with you on Barry Bonds. They belong in the Hall of Fame. Get over it. It's like, you know, get off your high horses, get off your soapboxes, and realize that it was part of the game. You can't take it away. You can't erase it. It is part of baseball history, but the stats tell you they belong in the Hall of Fame. End of discussion. And, oh, by the way, this is Boston, and it's our effing city. Remember that.
Yeah. You know what? And you know what's funny, too, guys? And I'm talking to Ortiz, definitely, but here's what it is. Comes down to me. I heard something on the radio today, which I'll get to. But I really thought going in that finally we could open the door to the steroid era, be that as it may. Because we can't, JC, you made a point. We can't just forget that. No baseball happened in that era? Recognize in some way. Put a different wing out there. Put an asterisk. Say something about it. But these guys, what they did on the field, saved the game of baseball at the time, be that as it may. I mean, it's all about, and as fans, we don't care what they do. I don't care if they took steroids, amphetamines, because I'm looking back to that day and those home run races, that McGuire and Sosa race in 98 was captivating. It was the biggest news story, much as a sports story. It saved the game. It was awesome. It was great theater. It was every day. It was a great summer. And that you can't forget about that from a baseball perspective. But here's what it comes down to, guys. The morality clause. Get it out of there. And it's not about the writers. Baseball has that in you. The morality clause states, voting shall be based upon the player's record, playing ability, integrity, and sportsmanship, character, and contributions to the teams on which the player plays. That has to go out, JC. Your thoughts on that? And, oh, by the way, and I heard this, I think Shaughnessy said something like this. Did Ortiz being a nice guy and his ambassador aspect of the game of baseball get him in as opposed to Barry Bonds, who was not well-liked, and Roger Clemens, who was very, very polarizing? JC?
Oh, no question. No question. It's for the same reason that Jim Rice didn't get in until his 14th year because he was such an a-hole to the media and in the clubhouse. We saw that firsthand, you know, and until the writers get this out of their head, you know, can't separate things, you know, it's going to continue. And to me, it's very simple. During the steroid era, who was the commissioner of baseball?
Bud Selig.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
That would be
yes. Yes. So, obviously, they have no problem putting the guy who oversaw all this, allowed it all to happen, to be in the Hall of Fame. But the underlings don't get to go in the Hall of Fame? What kind of sense does that make?
Couldn't agree more with that, JC. There's no way guys.
Go ahead, Joe. Finish up.
No, I'm good. Serious. I'm fine.
No, you were saying no way in the hell these guys. So let me interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, no way in the hell these guys don't get in there. It's like, look, Bud Selig is in there, but yet you're saying, I'm the guy in charge. You did it my way. I looked the other way because there's no way in hell he didn't know what was going on. So he looked the other way. But yet you put him in there. Why? Morality clause should keep him out of the hall. It should have kept him out of the Hall of Fame, but it didn't. But you're keeping these guys out of the Hall of Fame? No. It just major misjustice happened yesterday.
Some of the BBWAA really makes me sick. I mean, so I'm looking at the list. A.J. Pierzynski got 2 votes. Who the hell did that? Prince Fielder got 2 votes. What? Are you kidding me? That's right there is a postage stamp and enough to a nutshell, a Cliff Notes version in a nutshell, if you will, of how bad. Who the hell voted for these guys, JC? That's a sham. Something's got to change here, man.
Yeah, and it's always been that way. And, you know, the one good thing that you can see over the past couple of years is that you've seen more ballots who have kind of put in for 10 guys, which is the max you can vote for. So maybe that will eventually, you know, with the younger voters, you know, kind of push these things forward. But it kind of just makes you ill as a fan of the game when you see Scott Rolen as the guy who's going to be the next Hall of Famer. I don't know about you,
that
but I look at Scott Rolen and say, okay, very nice player, kind of like Steve Garvey was in the 70s and 80s. Very good player, you know, just, you know, vanilla, right there. Doesn't seem to be, you know, the eye test. You know, I'd have to look more into his stats, but he doesn't scream Hall of Famer as a guy who dominated the game for 5 to 8 years, which should be the least standard of what you look at as a Hall of Famer amount of years. And, you know, it's unfortunate because, you know, I don't know what's going to collect their minds, you know, for the next couple of years, because for the last 10, it's been dominated with the easy route of Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Maguire, Alex Rodriguez, whether they should get in or not. And so I don't know what's going to, you know, appease their minds now.
Joe, let me ask you this. Joe.
Yep.
And Carl contested this. You know, the old adage of, if you think of a player and you have to think about is he a Hall of Famer or not, then he's not a Hall of Famer. When I hear Scott Rowland's name, Joe, I don't say Hall of Famer because it doesn't. Because he's supposed to, like Barry Bonds, Hall of Famer, short shot. Curt Schilling, Hall of Famer, short shot. Right? David Ortiz, Hall of Famer, short shot. Mark McGwire, Hall of Famer, short shot. Scott Rowland, I have to think about that one. So that tells me he's not right up there as a Hall of Famer, Joe.
How is Scott Rowland even talked about as a Hall of Famer? He's in the same – look, it bothers my mind. And what do you mean? A.J. Pazinski's not a Hall of Famer in your mind? Cecil Fields not a Hall of Famer? What's the problem here? No. Scott Rowland is a good ball player, above-average ball player, maybe an all-star, but he didn't dominate the game. He's not a Hall of Famer. You are going to water down the Hall of Fame to let guys in like Scott Rowland? Really? Since when is the Hall of Fame for just every all-star, you're in the Hall of Fame? You're good. No. It's supposed to be guys that dominated while they played. Scott Rowland didn't dominate. He was a great add-on. He was great into the Phillies team. But he didn't need when he mentioned that, I was listening on the sports show. I'm like, hey, kidding me, Scott Rowland? You actually thinking about putting him in the Hall of Fame? Why? What did he do? He didn't have great batting average. He didn't have a great amount of home runs. Didn't have a great amount of hits.
Right.
I don't even know if he had 3,000 hits. So why are you going to put him in there?
Here's all you need to know, guys. Barry Bonds, 66% of the vote, final year on ballot. Roger Clemens, 65.2% of the vote. Scott Rowland, 63.2. You're right, JC. Scott Rowland, welcome to Cooperstown to a year soon to come.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy, never won an MVP, 281 career average, 2,077 hits. I mean, what are we talking about, 316 home runs?
Yes.
I mean, to me, that's just not a Hall of Famer. It's a very good player, seven-time All-Star,
right.
Sure, won the Rookie of the Year. Very good player. But Hall of Famer? Really?
Are you ready?
My eye test.
And Joe, I want to – Joe, Curt Schilling. We talked about Curt Schilling, but, you know, he's not in the steroid conversation. But a guy on the field, especially his postseason, what he's done in the postseason, right, 11-2, five games he won that were elimination out of those 11. A guy – I just clutching late, he's there. And he did have a pretty darn good career as well, winning 216 games. But, Joe, firmly the moral clause is what's keeping him out. And that's a sad thing. Because not only was he vilified in this area because of his political views and stuff, you can say he went off the rails. But he is the total victim of the moral clause, more so than Bonds or Clemens because of the PED use. And that's what's sad, the moral clause. And we saw with Schilling, a guy who should be in there, again, a victim of the moral clause, Joe. And he's a guy who just – it's a shame that that's in there.
No – Sorry, he's not a victim of the moral clause. He's a victim of his mouth because his mouth
True.
Got him into trouble because what he said got him into more trouble than the moral clause. Granted, around here, people don't like him for what happened in Rhode Island. I get it. But when he ran his mouth, he opened his mouth, he upset more Karens of the world than anything else, and they don't want him in there because they don't like his political view. Political view,
which is a moral clause,
but which has nothing to do with what he did on the field. Look, everybody should remember that bloody sock game where he took 10 years off his career by going out there and pitching New York Yankee Stadium and leading the Red Sox to. Look, I still remember the Ford commercial, Ford F-150 commercial, hitchhiking. Yeah, I need to ride to Boston.
Yep.
I'm about to break an 84-year-old curse. The man did what he said he would do. He deserves 20 times more than Scott Rowland. If Scott Rowland gets in and Kurt doesn't get in, find me a bomb bucket soon, because it's like there's no way, no, that he doesn't belong in there. It's like, and he's, like I said before, get off the high horses, get over the fact that it was part of the game, and what he did between the lines should only matter. Forget what he says. Isn't it what's between the lines that's what gets get into the Hall of Fame? When does it become anything else? These guys have control, and they think they can rule the roost, and it's total bullshit.
Yeah,
when
I think about the morals clause, I think about sins against the game. So if you want to say Pete Rose gambled against baseball, fine. That's sins against the game. You want to say that Bonds, Clemens, everybody else took PEDs and steroids, amphetamines, and you think that the burden of proof was that they did it even out without a positive test, then okay, at least you can say that sins against the game. Curt Schilling did nothing against the game. He just ran his mouth outside of it about everything but the game. And to me, that should not be held against him.
Couldn't agree more. Great day for David Ortiz yesterday. Stop me if you've heard this before. Bad day for Major League Baseball overall, in my opinion. Be that as it may, I'm glad we can talk a little baseball during January, because God knows when we're going to be able to talk it again. So hopefully soon, cooler heads prevail, put them in a room, and don't come out until there's an agreement. But, hey, we've got about 8 minutes left in the show. I'd be remiss, JC. I know you do a lot of writing. You talk about a lot of wrestling stuff. Tell me what's coming up, and let's talk about the Royal Rumble with you and Joe. Take me into the classroom, what to expect this weekend.
Yeah, and I have my stuff on Go Local Proud this weekend, especially the NFL conference previews. And as far as the Royal Rumble, you know, there's a couple of things. You know, it's, you know, Mickie James is in from Impact Wrestling on the women's side, and the WWE is feverishly looking for people to come in that aren't currently as part of the WWE organization to be as part of the men's Royal Rumble, to be those surprises. They're having resistance. Of course, you're never going to have guys like Jericho and Moxley, Cody Rhodes, who they're not coming from AEW to come back. But could you have guys like Matt Cardona, a.k.a. Zack Ryder, come in from Impact and from GCW? Could you have someone like that come in for a little bit of buzz socially? Possibly. Could you have Moose come over from Impact? He's their world champion right now. Possibly, but it'll be interesting to see if they can pull the trigger on someone coming back, because that's what the Royals always about, is the surprises. And with it back being in front of fans for the first time in a couple of years, being in the Dome in St. Louis, it'll be great to hear the crowd pops. And on the women's side, I'm looking for a little bad reputation with Ronda Rousey coming back on the women's side. And hey, here's hoping. You know, there's nothing, obviously, that, you know, confirmed or anything. They don't want that cat out of the bag. But I think it's interesting that ESPN announced that her series was coming back on ESPN. A little publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she needs it back. And if she does, having her throw Charlotte Flair over the top rope and setting up a rematch where she never did lose to Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Her shoulder was up before the freakout. You can go back and look at the tape. That would set up a nice little WrestleMania rematch that everyone would want to see.
There you go.
Well, we all know the Royal Rumble starts the road to WrestleMania, and it starts now. So it's like all the has-beens or old-timers make their cameos, the Shawn Michaels of the world make their cameos within the next month or so, and they all show up out of nowhere. Look, I would love to see Ronda Rousey against Becky. But whatever happened to Bayley? Is she out on injury?
She is out. She tore ACL, but I wouldn't be surprised if she comes back. Asuka comes back. And obviously Sasha Banks is out for another 8 weeks, so she's not going to be part of this weekend. She hopefully will be back for WrestleMania. But, I wouldn't shock me if Bayley comes back this weekend. Asuka, I think, definitely comes back. Maybe Kairi Sane comes back. But it will be interesting. And on the men's side, I bet you a couple of NXT guys, including Braun, don't call me Rick Steiner's son, Breaker, as the NXT champion, and Gunther, don't call me Walter anymore, comes back for a little time in the Royal Rumble.
So who faces Lesnar? Who do you think is going to – who they set up Lesnar for at WrestleMania?
That's a great question because I don't – I mean, I think originally they were hoping to get the title versus title match between Lesnar and Reigns at WrestleMania, but I'm not so sure that they want that a couple of months out, you know? So I don't think Lesnar loses to Lashley this weekend. I think it's a little too quick. Take it off Lesnar. He just got the title. But it wouldn't shock me if Seth Rollins, you know, did the deed because Reigns doesn't need the title to make him. There's time enough to get it back on him before WrestleMania or have him fight for the title at WrestleMania. But I don't think the WWE is set in any of their plans right now because it could be anything at this point.
Well, you know Seth Rollins is making the rounds because he was on Good Morning Football. So it's like they are setting him up for his, like, you know, become a big – he is the most enamored heel they have in the company, more than Reigns. And it's like, you know, he's a flamboyant Ric Flair that isn't Ric Flair that, you know, hasn't got the cachet of Ric Flair. But he's as flamboyant as it's going to get. And he's just – He's at least getting reactions from the crowd, which is what they need. They have had that with the lack of their heels of getting good reactions. People don't know what to think of Lesnar anymore. They don't know what to think of Reigns. They've worked on Reigns' mic skills, but it's still not where it needs to be. Lashley would be great as a champion because his mic skills are great with MVP, but you never know what WWE changes their minds like the freaking – you change a freaking roll of toilet paper. They think they're but never the same. They never know where they want to go.
Yeah, that's their problem right now. When you look at, like, Tony Khan in AEW, he basically has his first six heavyweight champions all scripted out, you know, and they've gone through Jericho, they've gone through Moxley, they've gone through, you know, Kenny Omega, and now they're on Hangman Page. So he's still got two more to go that he's already got set in his mind that he's not wavering from. Vince, who knows? He wakes up on the wrong side of the bed, the whole company gets, you know, retired and changed. So it'll be interesting where he woke up from today.
Gentlemen, unfortunately, that's going to do it for the show. But as always, good stuff there, JC. Joe, I appreciate all your time today and putting through with all the crap that I kind of put you through. But thanks again, man, taking time out of your day / evening to be on the Old School Show. Joe, John, always a pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Much appreciated.
You bet, man. You bet. And we'll do this again really soon. Super Bowl is coming up. To everyone out there, Lou, thanks for calling in from New Jersey, our resident Jets fan. And everyone, listen, enjoy the Royal Rumble. Enjoy the conference championship weekend when two trophies will be awarded. And until next time, we always enjoy your pleasure and input. And thanks for listening and watching or whatever you're doing to the Going Old School Show. We are always the Unsung Sports Grid. You can always on blogtalkradio.com, part of the E2G Sports Network. Again, thanks to Joe. Thanks to John. This has been the Going Old School Show with Chips, Crow, and Joe. Take care, everybody. Stay well, be safe, and enjoy.